The Midianites have overrun Israel, which is a problem, but it's not Israel's defining one. The defining issue is them not obeying God by doing what was right in their own eyes. In a sense, Israel is living their own truth rather than trusting in God's. And that's the defining problem. Midian is just what it looks like on the outside. I want you to know that all the outside stuff in your life that you think is a problem, they're problems, but they're oftentimes not the defining ones. That God is at work in a deeper place in our hearts and in our lives. And here's what it says in Judges chapter 6, verses 6 to 10. And Israel was brought very low because of Midian. And the people of Israel cried out for help to the Lord. When the people of Israel cried out to the Lord on account of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet to the people of Israel. And he said to them, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, I led you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of slavery. And I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all who oppressed you. And I drove them out before you and I gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But, everybody say but. God has a big but, really big, but. That was a joke. That was just a little joke there. Then I went on to the next one. It was 9 in the morning. Stay with me. But you have not obeyed my voice. So they've been brought very low because of Midian. But that's not the real problem. The real problem is the lack of obedience to God's voice. The lack of obedience to God's voice just gives opportunity to Midian. If they would walk in obedience to God, Midian's not a problem. And so Midian is oppressing Israel, and the deliverer God is about to use is hiding in fear. But Gideon is about to learn how to trust God and to live from a deeper place of trust. Continuing to read in verses 11 to 12, it says, now the angel of the Lord came and sat under a terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizrite. I didn't say that right, but we're going to keep going. While his son Gideon was beating out wheat in a wine press to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. And Gideon went, me? Like it's just him and the angel of the Lord. And I'm sure Gideon was still going, who are you talking to? Who are you talking to right now? You see, grapes were trodden in wine presses, not wheat. Wheat was threshed in open floors so that as it was threshed, the wind could carry away, as Proverbs says, the chaff. Never would this be ever done in a wine press. That's where wine was pressed. Never wheat. And so Gideon is doing something that needs to be done, but he's doing it where it doesn't need to be done because he's living in fear of the Midianites. Has anybody here in your life ever been in a disagreement with someone? Can I see your hands, please? Have you ever said inside something that you wanted to say outside? Now, some of you, it's wisdom when you keep it inside. Some of you let too much on the inside on the outside. But sometimes you don't just need to say it on the inside, sometimes you do need to say it on the outside. Right? And how do you discern which is with? Well, you got to figure that out, usually through mentors or mistakes. Have at it. But due to fear of Midian, due to fear of his family, Gideon is doing something in hiddenness, what he should be doing in openness. Now, in terms of telling Gideon's story well this morning, a significant oversight is often made here. It is proper and it is wonderful to note how the angel of the Lord speaks not only to Gideon's current posture, but his future potential. He says to him, O mighty man of valor, which is really curious to say to somebody who is hiding in timidity and fear. But remember, your current position and your personality are not God's problem or a problem for God. Where you are is not a problem for God. Trust me. If God wants you somewhere, he will get you there. I remember one time in my life, it was a random day, I got a telephone call, and I answered the call. And within 2 days, I was standing in the Prime Minister's office, officiating a wedding ceremony conducting a wedding ceremony for somebody in his government, a former prime minister, And I was standing, obviously former, I'm not with Mark Carney right now, but former prime minister, okay, in there, standing in the office, conducting this a wedding ceremony, and I did crack a joke, because I do love a good joke, and I did say to the prime minister at the time, well, I'm the officiant minister, so here, I'm the one in charge. Didn't laugh, but I thought it was hilarious. Yeah, not my problem you don't have a sense of humor, okay? I mean, you know, sometimes you just got to go for it, and if it lands on its face, you just keep going. Anyways, so I conduct the wedding, ha ha, great. And as I'm leaving, as I walk out, the Spirit of the Lord says, see, I can put you wherever I want you. I didn't have that on my bingo card that week, that's where I was going to be. A couple weeks ago, I had a beautiful opportunity to meet with the mayor, with a bunch of other pastors. I didn't have it on my bingo card. Not that the political figures or anything, I'm just saying God can get you wherever he wants to get you. All right? And so here's Gideon, and he's thinking, the last place I want to be is in front of Midianites. Well, God's going to use his life. But again, here's one of the things that we often see that is a problem, is we see the angel of the Lord come and say, oh, mighty man of valor, and we like that, but we miss the first part, which is the only reason he can be a mighty man of valor is the Lord is with you. Moses said it well, if you're not with me, I ain't going. You need to come to a place of revelation that wherever your life takes you, if it is without God, it is not a place you want to go. It's not a place you want to go. It's not a place you want to be. It's not a place you want to live. Anywhere that life takes you without the Lord is an inferior place to him actually being with you. We see it here. He says, the Lord is with you. How can you be a mighty man of valor? It's not in his personality. It's not in his character. He's a timid man. He's hiding in fear. But the Lord is with you. And because the Lord is with you, oh, mighty man of valor. You see, if we preach this message that we only go on Almighty Man of Valor and we miss the Lord is with you, we miss everything. We miss everything. In other words, we make it all about us. And here's the problem. When it comes to purpose, we make it all about us. If you discover purpose without God's presence, you haven't discovered anything. You're just a car without a steering wheel. You're just a crash waiting to happen. Because when you discover God's purpose, God's presence, and then God's presence, understanding it, is the key to your purpose, everything changes. The angel of the Lord does not first speak to Gideon's potential, but the defining difference that God's presence is going to make in his life. The invitation from Gideon to come out of hiding into his true identity is found within the call to first embrace again that God is with him. It is presence before purpose. Purpose void of God's presence is a distraction that lacks distinction. There's no distinction to it. But when you are a person, when we are a church, when you are a small group, when we are a leadership team, when we are marked by God's purpose, there is a distinction everywhere we go. It's different. Think Moses, think Joshua. I will be with you, so be strong and courageous. Not be strong and courageous and you'll find me as you go. No, I will be with you, and because I am with you, be strong and courageous. What did Jesus say to us? I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. So because you abide in me, because I am with you, now go into all the world. The worst thing the world, what the world does not need is Christians without the presence of God going into all the world, trying to make them in our image when we are called to be in his image, making them more like Jesus, which is a journey all of us are on. The posture is, hey, let's get more of God. Let's become more like Jesus together. Not you need to become more like me. Different. The world knows that message, by the way. You need to become more like me because it's the dominant message of every other industry. That the distinct message of the church is not become like me. It's lets us in humility become more like Christ. It's different. It's just different. Thank you for that smattering. Gideon isn't so sure. He's not so sure. And here's what I want to just highlight. A symptom. Everyone say a symptom. A symptom of improper hiddenness is a hearing problem. Always. And Gideon said to him, now we've read Judges 6, now we're getting to verse 13 here. And Gideon said to him, please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? Listen. God just said earlier, you've not obeyed me. Yes? Gideon now says, but now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian. All I want to say is this. In improper hiddenness, in hiding from God and Midian, Gideon has the circumstances right, but his conclusions are misguided. That's one of the number one ways you know you're in an improper season of hiddenness, when you're looking at everything in your life and you have the circumstances nailed, but they're leading you to the wrong conclusions about who God is. We've said it often and we'll say it this way. You will be tempted again and again in your life to define who God is by your circumstances rather than trusting in his established character. You will be consistently tempted when God, you know, you get a promotion, God is provider. And then when you get fired, God is not provider. He's terrible. And that doesn't make you a terrible person. It just makes you a human being with emotions, fears, concerns, challenges, irritations, all of these things. And so here's Gideon. Midian is oppressing them, and the Lord has said, Midian is a problem, but your primary problem is you've rebelled against me. You've rebelled against me. So essentially, God says to them, I haven't gone anywhere. You've run. And now Gideon comes and says to God, why have you forsaken us? Bit of a little miscommunication problem here. Judges 6, verse 10, because you didn't listen to my voice. Judges 6, verse 13, the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hands of the Midianites. When we learn to hide in God's presence, we grow in awe of God. And here's all I've discovered in my own story that I see in Scripture. First, I see in Scripture and figure out my own story, is when I hide from God, I get circumstances right, but I get the conclusions wrong often. How many of you know that sometimes you can only connect the dots looking backwards? God, why am I here? Why am I here? Why am I here? In particular, why am I here? Why have you put me under this leader? Why have you put me under this? And all of a sudden, God brings you to a different season, and you look back and you go, oh, that's why you put me there. That's why you put me under that moronic leader, so that I could learn how not to lead. Oh, yeah, I get it. I get it. But Gideon's not there yet. He's still over there, and he's wrestling. Loved ones, you know who the best wrestling partner is in the world? God. You'll never pin him. At times, you'll think you're winning, but he's just letting you. You can wrestle with him. You can wrestle. Because here's what's true for all of us. Before God works through you, he's going to work in you. He's going to work in you. Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had told him. Watch. So not only is Gideon afraid of the Midianites, look at the deeper level fear here. So Gideon takes 10 men. He's finally like, okay, God, you can use my life. And he did as the Lord had told him. But because he was too afraid of his family, anybody relate? Anybody relate? Because he was too afraid of the people closest to him and the men of the town to do it by day, he did it by night. Now, if you're reading that going like, you can see one of two things in the scripture. You can see his fear driving him here, or you can see he did it afraid anyway. If you're a perfectionist, you're like, that's not good enough. But if you're presence-driven, you can see, he's not where he will be, but he isn't where he was. He was hiding in fear, not doing anything, and then God comes to him, and he still has fear in his life, but he's doing it afraid, and God is working it out in him. Some of you, God will miraculously set you free from the things in your heart and life, these character issues and stuff. Others of you, God will not. He will actually lead you through a process. Why? Because by leading you through a process step by step, one day he's going to turn around and say, now I want you to lead someone else who was caught in the same thing step by step. And if I would have taken you from here all the way to here, then you would have not known how to walk them from here to here to here to here to here. It isn't that God doesn't love you. It is that it's tied to your purpose, and it's a grander thing. It really is. There are things that I'm like, God, why did you not just take me? Why did you not just do this? Now I understand why. As I walk people through, oh, I've been there. Our circumstances are different, but I've been there. Remember, God, who is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, is at work to draw Gideon out of the fear of Midianites, out of the fear of his family, out of the fear of what everybody in his town would think, under the shadow of God's wing. And to get from where they are to where God is calling them next will require a greater trust. Everyone say a greater trust. That God is greater than Midian. In verses 19 to 24 of Judges 6, Gideon has this supernatural encounter with the angel of the Lord. And because he's seen the angel of the Lord face to face, he's afraid he's going to die. I mean, this guy's just got fear upon fear upon fear. I get Gideon. Gideon's one of my favorite Old Testament characters. Since I was a kid, I have struggled with fear. I would actually consider myself a Gideon pastor. Truthfully, I don't resonate with David. If I see a giant, I don't go running. I call that wisdom. The Lord sometimes calls it cowardice. Either way, I'm good. I get it. Every single thing the Lord has asked us to do as Life Center, first and foremost, I have battled fear. I get Gideon. But here's the beautiful thing again. My fear is not a problem for God. You know why? Last week, Lori and I were in Oklahoma. You have to say it that way. And I was a preacher princess. So they had Lori preaching at the church. I did a men's conference on Friday, Saturday. And then Lori was preaching on Sunday morning. So I was like, not a passenger princess. I was a preacher princess. I was sitting over there, you go, girl, you got it. Like I did. It was amazing. Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah, yeah. And this morning when you see Pastor Lori, all I want you to say is, aye, aye, Captain Highliner, and it'll be good. If you don't see her outfit, that won't make sense. But if you do, you will. That's not criticism. That's beauty. She looks amazing. Some of you are like, oh, I don't know if I can say that. Okay, forget it. Listen, but Lori said something last week that I want to say to you this week. She said this, the opposite of fear is not courage. The opposite of fear is understanding perfect love, because perfect love casts out all fear. If the opposite of fear, this is not my words, this is this preacher over here. If the opposite of fear is courage, then it's all on you, but it isn't. The opposite of fear is perfect love, you learning to abide in the love of the Father. And when you abide in the love of the Father, it casts out all fear. Because why? Because if you have his affection, what is yours? I am good. Okay, not that I'm uncaring, but you get what I'm saying. Judges 6, 22, 24. Then Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord, and Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for I have now seen the angel of the Lord face to face. But the Lord said to him, peace be to you, shalom. Do not fear. You know this. Those three words are the top three words throughout all of Scripture. Do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear. Why? Because in our own ways, we all struggle with fear, timidity. Do not fear, you shall not die. And so Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it the Lord is Shalom, the Lord is peace. And it, to this day it stands at Ophrah, which belongs to the Abiezrites. Said it wrong again. In the presence of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord, this man who struggles with fear, this man who just a moment ago was terrified of Midianites, was terrified of his family, was terrified of the people of the town, was doing everything at night. In the presence of the Lord, everyone say, in the presence of the Lord. He now destroys the altar of Baal and he cuts down Asherah poles. In other words, this man who was treading out wheat in a wine press in timidity touches in his culture the highest things that the culture didn't want touched. I want you to think about your workplace right now. I'm not advising you to do this tomorrow. I'm just saying I want you to think about what are some of the things in our world, in our culture, that they say, don't touch that. What about in your family? What's that thing you can't touch? Gideon, the man who is not David, not like, you defied God, running. Gideon is more like, someone else needs to do something about those Midianites. Let's have a prayer meeting and pray that the Lord would raise up a deliverer. Some of you are the answer to the own prayers that you're praying. God, would you send someone to my family? And the Lord goes, Lord, you need to send someone to my boss. How does the culture react when Gideon touches the high places? Oh, you can read it for yourself. Not great. But it doesn't matter. Because God's with him. He's doing it afraid. But he's doing it. Chris Martin, not of Coldplay, a different one, says this. Have you ever been filled with fear because of something God has called you to do? The brokenness of the world so often strikes fear in our hearts, but sometimes God's call to faithfully following him can be scary too. Whenever our hearts are filled with fear, we can lean on him for peace. By the grace of God, we find our peace in the one who calls us to faithfulness. God is our peace. His call on our lives can sometimes be scary, but he is there. And you know what he is? He is good. And so hiddenness is a critical biblical theme, and it's vital to our lives in Christ. Yet discerning how we are hiding at a specific time and season of our life, we need the Holy Spirit's revelation. Sometimes it will be a moment of revelation for you. Other times it'll come through somebody else. But however God chooses to reveal it, he is good. You know, this entire Becoming Heart Strong season has had one theme these last 14 weeks. Will you trust God at one level deeper? So here's my question. Over these last 14 weeks, or as many as you've been coming to Life Center, you're like, I've only been here for four. Then use four. How specifically is God speaking to you? And where in your life right now is he inviting you to trust him? Where is he inviting you to trust him? He will not force you to trust him. He will invite you. I just want you to know this. He's wildly persistent. You can say no, but I promise you that invitation is coming again. Why? Because there's something he wants to do in you and then through you, that is your assignment from him.